Shifut, Chelik Beis, Hilchas Geneva, Halacha Gimel, page 198, right-hand column, down below. Rav Nosson Zal starts with the words, Haganath Mishalem Tashlumei Kefil, a thief pays double, and this is going to be based on a chapter in Likut Imran, Torah Samach, which deals with the topic of Sipuri Maisis. This is the chapter in Likut Imran where Rav Nosson explains how Sipuri Maisis represents an unusual level of Torah that can be used to be makar of people on all different levels of distance from Hashem. Al pi haTorah posach Rabbi Shimon b'sefer Likut Imran horishayin ayin shom kol haTorah miroshel sefer. Rav Nosson Zal says, study this chapter in Likut Imran from beginning to end to get a real thorough picture. However, to review that which pertains to our topic, Rabbeinu Zal there says that by a person hearing stories from the earliest of times, Shonim Kadmoinios, that has the ability to arouse and wake up people from their sleep. There are many people that are sleeping throughout their entire lives. And there are certain people where, despite the fact that they're learning and davening, still, their mitzvos and their Torah is classified as sleep, because it's being done without chiyus, without life. There's no life in it. The person who's asleep, the Gemara refers to sleep as 1/60th of death, which means the term sleep is synonymous with semi-lifeless. There are people who's learning, who are learning and davening, and their davening is either lifeless or certainly semi-lifeless. The person doesn't feel, you don't see the person looks dead when he's davening. He's reciting the words, but there's nothing alive about it. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likut Imran, where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. V'tzorech lo'irora mishinoson. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that one of the things that a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham has to try to do is to wake these people up from their sleep. Rabbi Nazal says over there that there are some people where they fall into this concept of sleep, lifelessness, as a result of averos that they've done. Whereas there are some people who are mamish kosher people, people that serve Hashem, do mitzvos, ma'asim tovim, avol nafu l'sheinu al yidei achila. And however, what puts them to sleep is eating. Ki kishoichel maichel she'enoi mavur ala maichel odom, because when a Jew eats food that isn't appropriate for a human being, it isn't prepared properly, or it isn't appropriate for a human being, yuchal lavoid esponov, the person, as a result of eating this, can lose his face, which means lose his chiyus, v'lipoy lebechinas shena, and fall asleep. We have stories in the Torah that teach us that either drinking wine or eating dairy food specifically is something that can put a person to sleep. Cheese, things like that. That's on a physical level, besides all the other levels. Things that subtract energy from a person. Ki ikar b'chinas ha-sheino hu b'chinas istalkus hadas shehu haponim. Because Rav Nosson emphasizes over there that what we call sleep means where a person's consciousness, loss of consciousness, which means loss of the ponim. The ponim, what we refer to the ponim of the person is the eyes, the alertness of the person. When a teacher says, I want everybody facing front, it's another way of saying, I want everybody paying attention. Paying attention means I want them to be consciously listening to what I'm saying. Rabbeinu Zal uses all of this terminology as synonymous. The ponim, you know, the oira ponim of a person, the das of the person, and the awakeness of the person. V'hisoyerus hasheno hualidei sipurei maisis. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that in order to wake people up from sleep, the way to do it is by telling stories. Shehat tzadik malbish bohem es haponim shel Torah, whereby the tzadik clothes the light of the Torah in these stories. There's the term shivim ponim shel Torah, the 70 faces of the Torah, which is another word for the 70 lights or 70 interpretations of the Torah. Each one is called a ponim. Machmas gimel taimim. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there three different reasons why, when a person is asleep, a tzaddik can't give him the Torah directly, but rather he's got to give him the Torah in a capsule. And the capsule is a story, Sipurei Maaseis. Kemavoyer Shom, as is explained in that chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Samach. That Torah, by the way, is a Rosh Hashanah Torah. It's a shiur that Rabbeinu Zal gave on a Rosh Hashanah towards the end of his life, about 4 or 5 years before he passed away. It's a very long chapter on Likutei Moran, and it covers some super important topics. We'll have more on it. V'hatam ha-gimel, the third reason that's listed there as to why the tzaddik has to clothe Torah in stories for these people that are asleep is ki hachitzoimim ho'oichazim boi lo yamichu oisei lotzeis, because this Jew who has fallen into this level called sleep, this histalkus adas, which means he's fallen into the hands of the klipos. Because when we talk about death, or a person that's dead is tame. In other words, a mace is called avi avos hatuma. Why? Because when a person is dead, that's when the klipos can have the strongest hold, can grab hold of the person strongest. Or when a person's asleep, for example, we know that when a person wakes up in the morning, they're supposed to wash their hands. Why? Because when a person goes to sleep, there's histalkus hadas, the neshama leaves the person to a certain extent, and the brain shuts down, and that makes it easy for the klipos to take hold. And that's one of the reasons why we wash hands in the morning. So Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that a Jew who suffers a major yerida or a major nefila, where he falls into this level called sleep, this means that the klipos are attached to him. And if you try to take him out in a direct way, they won't let you. If they see you coming to pull this person out of their clutches, they'll fight you very hard. Therefore, it's got to be done secretly. Just like Lahavdil, when a person is taken captive by enemy forces and you want to rescue him from there, we know that in almost all cases, it can't be done in any obvious way. It's got to be done secretly, hiddenly. Al-Kain, Tzorech Lahaldish Esponov, Kedei L'Shanoisoi Shelo Yakiruboi. Therefore, the tzaddik has to hide his face, clothe his face, or clothe the light of the Torah, so that they shouldn't recognize what's coming at them. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, Meshane Ponov Vatishlochehu. He changes his face, and they send him away. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes that pasuk, showing that sometimes in order to get a guy released from prison, you gotta disguise yourself. The one who wants to do run the escape mission has to disguise himself, or disguise the escape method, the Torah. Shalidei shemeshanim esponov umalbishin leponov shel Torah sheovad b'sipurei maaseis, by changing the face and by hiding the Torah that this person lost contact with, by dressing it up in stories, that's how you'll be able to get this person released from the klipos, the forces that have taken hold of him. Because when you do it that way, these forces of tumah don't recognize, they don't see what's coming at them. They don't know that you're trying to pull an escape mission, and therefore they let him mingle with you, they let this prisoner that they've been holding on to mingle with the tzaddik, and they'll even allow him to go with the tzaddik, and this is how he can gain his release, his freedom from these klipos that he's fallen into. It's in that chapter in the Gutei Moran that Rabbeinu Zal goes into a whole super clear explanation of kiruv, of trying to be makar of a person who has become unplugged and detached and distant from the standard forms of Torah, or from the standard kesher with Torah. And in order to be able to bring that person back, Rabbi Nathan explains that Sipurim Isis is one of the best ways to do it. Now, Rabbi Nizal explains over there that there's two levels of Sipurim Isis. V'yesh Sipurim Isis Shehem Bekerev Shonim. There are Sipurim stories which are more recent. The word Bekerev Shonim literally means more recent, close in time. Ki ha'ayin ponim shel Torah heim b'chinas ayin shonim. Because we know that the 70 facets of the Torah correspond to the 70 years of a Jew's life. Every year that a Jew lives, he's supposed to plug into and master another one of these 70 facets of the Torah. And Chas v'Shalom, when a Jew unplugs himself, when a Jew suffers a Yerida, he's unplugging himself from one or more of these 70 connections to the Torah. Avol yesh sipurei maisiyas shel shon mekadmoinios. However, Rabbi Nizal says there, you should know that there are stories that reach further back than all of these 70 years. Shehem bechinas hadras ponim shekol ho'ayin ponim shel Torah nimshochen u'mekabel mehem. They represent a level of kedusha, a level of holiness, a level of wisdom, where all 70 facets of the Torah come from them. If you recall, we had learned a short while ago in the previous halacha, Rav Nosson Zal was explaining about Hagbah, why we do Hagbah. You remember? And Rav Nosson Zal said that one of the things that's being accomplished when we do Hagbah on the Sefer Torah is we're showing that we're taking the Torah and lifting it up, plugging it into its source, which is Chochmah Ilah, which is a higher level. So that when we talk, even when we talk about the 70 facets of the Torah, there's higher than that. There's the place where that gets from. For example, we spoke earlier about the Keser from which Chochmah and Bina come from. Here again, in this chapter on the Kutaman that we're referring to here, Rabbi Nizal uses the term Bekerev Shonim to refer to 70 years, to refer to the seven lower spheroids, which we've discussed many times, Chesed through Malchus. He uses the term shonim kadmainiyos, what dates back earlier than that, to refer to the three upper spheres, keser chochma bino, or the keser itself, which is a level above that, where the seven lower ones draw all their life and holiness and light from those upper ones. So Rabbi Nizal says over there, ki yeshmi shenoifel mikol ho'ayin ponim shel Torah, because there are certain Jews that have fallen away, become unplugged from all 70 regular channels of Torah. She'efsher lo iroi b'shum ponim. Where if you turn on any of those 70 channels, he doesn't hear it. He's on a different wavelength. He's fallen out completely from that whole circle. Ki im al yidei sipurei maisis shel shonim kadmoinios. It's only by teaching that person using stories that go above all 70 years, stories that date back to way, way, way back. I was referring to a level of Torah that's non-standard at all, but goes way, way back. Shehem Bechinas Hadras Ponim, which represents the beauty of Hashem's face, like the highest level of light. Shekol Ho'ayin Ponim Mekapla Mehem, where all 70 channels of Torah receive their power from this upper source, vaydehem yecholon la'oirer ulahokitz afilu mishenofa mikol ha'in ponim shel Torah. By using those kinds of stories, you can inspire and turn on and bring back a person who has fallen out completely from all standard connections to the Torah. This is what Rabbi Nizal says over there. Now, an additional thought that Rabbi Nizal says over there. And by being able to accomplish this, by being able to take people that are asleep and being able to wake them up, inspire them asleep religiously, this will also allow you to take people that couldn't speak and give them the ability to speak, or women that couldn't give birth and give them the ability to give birth. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter in Likutei Moharan discusses the topic of women who can't give birth being able to give birth, and Rabbeinu Zal says the secret to making it happen is this issue of his Hisoirus Hashena. That's why we find that the one day in the year where we read the chapter in the Chumash which speaks about Sara Imenu, who couldn't have children for such a long time giving birth, what day do we read it on? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, when we ring the alarm, we blow the shofar. The shofar is called Hisoirus Hashen. It's the wake-up call, right? Uru, the Rambam says, the reason why we blow the shofar is Uru Yishenim Yishnaschem, and it's on the day of Rosh Hashanah that Sara was Nifka, that Sara be conceived, you know, with Yitzchak Avinu, and the Medrash says over there that not just she, but all the women in that generation that couldn't have children, when Sara received the ability to have children, all of them got it at the same time. Because this issue of Pekidah Sakorois is tied into this issue of Hisoirus Hashena. In that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal goes into it in full detail. Vayidei Pekidah Sakorois Nimshach V'Nizgale Yira. And when women who are barren for a long time suddenly give birth, there's a tremendous revelation of fear of Hashem. Sheze b'chinas pekidas Yitzchok shenifkedo sora b'rosh Hashana shaydeze nizgala yira gedoyla. This is the concept that from Sora came forth Yitzchok, who is called Pachad Yitzchok. Yitzchok is the symbol of yira, gevura. Vayidei hayira nimshach arichas yomim, and through yira is drawn long life to the extent that a person has fear of Hashem, to that extent there's zeichet to longevity of life, which means shezeichin laharichas yomov, where the person is zeichet to lengthen his days. Shekol yoim b'tchilosei hu kotzer. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that most people, when the day starts for them, when they first get up in the morning, the day is very short for them, which means when a person first gets up in the morning, most people, they're moving at such a slow pace for that first half hour that at this rate, it's going to take them, you know, 24 hours to do 1 hour's worth of accomplishment. So the day starts short, sort of, you know, where he's moving because of how slow he's moving. When the day is first starting for a person, his avoido is still very small, you know, and tremendous tzimtzum. Whereas, as the day moves on, the engines of the person are supposed to be revving up more and more powerful, you know, moving faster and faster to accomplish more achievement in less time. Where as he gets into the day, every hour more into the day, he's achieving more. He's packing 200 units of work into 1 hour. Then afterwards, it's 400 units of work into 1 hour. He's building up a tremendous momentum. And so too, Tuesday, a person, a Jew, is expected to be accomplishing much, much more, packing much more into Tuesday than he did in Monday, because as he advances in life, every single day, he's building momentum. You know, he keeps moving faster and faster. He keeps rising to a higher level where he's able to pack more accomplishment into the same unit of time or into less time. Just like in any kind of profession that a person has, as he gets more experience, if he's an intelligent person, he's not just doing the same job over, he's figuring out ways how to get more produce out of less dunams of land, you know, smaller piece of property, and multiplying the amount of produce from it. Smaller unit of time, and packing in, you know, multiple times of avoda. V'chein b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, so on and so forth. This is the main concept of long life, which is mentioned so many times in the Torah, and this is one of the most powerful brachas that you can give a person. You should be zecha to arichas yomim. What does arichas yomim mean? to be a decrepit old man who doesn't have no teeth and can't chew any food, can't eat anything enjoyable, because anything enjoyable to eat, you need teeth to chew on, and can't sleep at night, and can't do... That's a bracha? You're blessing a person with that kind of long life? That's not a bracha. The bracha of Arichas Yomim, the way Rabbein Zal explains it, means that you should have the ability to lengthen each day, to get more out of each day than the day before, and more out of each hour than the hour before. Shetzrichim lirois, shekol yoim shebo achakach, yisarech yoiser betoisvis kedusha vadas. A Jew is required to see to it that as he advances in life, every day that he gets a day older, he's able to increase the amount of kedusha and the intake of das, the expansion of his brain, more than the day before. Being able to pack more into a day than the day before. V'zeh zoichen al yidei yira. And the way that a Jew is zoichen to this is through fear. By developing the quality of fear in a holy way. B'bechinas, as the Pasuk says, yiras Hashem toisif yomim. Fear of Hashem adds life, adds days. V'yira matzil mi pegama bris. And Rabbeinu Zal shows in that chapter in Likud Imran how fear is what protects a person from pegama bris. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that when a person has this tikkun habris and this year of kedusha and this arichas yomim, then they're able to receive wealth into this arichas yomim. Shehu bechinas zokein, bechinas tikkunei atik, shalidei hoashirus hagodol hazeh. Whereby through this tremendous, tremendous wealth that the person achieves, he zeche to a super high level of depth of understanding. Where it's impossible for a Jew to achieve this level of deep understanding without extreme wealth. Kol hoin di alma, mamish, where he has all the wealth of the world, v'loy sechzar kol bo, is lacking in nothing. Kimavur kol ze heitev shom, as all of this is explained very clearly in this chapter in Likutei Moran, ayin shom heitev. Study it over there, you'll get it. We're not going to do the whole chapter in Likutei Moran, but just to mention a couple of issues. Rabbeinu Zal there starts off by saying that just as there's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says, im ein kemach ein Torah, that if a Jew doesn't have bread, he can't learn, you know, implying that you need basic parnasa to be able to learn, so too you need to understand that the higher a level of Torah a person wants to achieve, the higher levels of ashirus they need to achieve it. So that Rabbeinu Zal says, those Jews who dealt in the highest levels of Torah have to be extraordinarily wealthy. As we find Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah testifies that he became wealthy from the psoilas of the luchos, the shavings of the luchos, that sapphire stone. The Gemara says, Misham nis'asher Moshe. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu became wealth. Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, who was the one who compiled the Mishnayos. Ravashi, who was the one who compiled the Gemara. Rabbeinu Zal brings proof that those tzaddikim, who were the ones who transmitted the Torah to Klal Yisrael, that kind of level, had to have unusual ashiras. Or, as the prerequisite for Matan Torah on Har Sinai, was Kriyas Yamsuf and cleaning out Mitzrayim. When the Jews left Egypt, they had to wipe out the whole place, borrow gold and silver and everything. What they need all of that stuff for? There were no department stores in the desert. There weren't even department stores in Israel at the time. What they need all of those bucks for? Rav Nosson Zal explains in Kutei Halachos that in order to achieve his boinunus ha-Torah, a person needs ashirus nifla. That's why the Beis HaMikdash, which had the highest level of Torah in it, it had the Sanhedrin, the Lishka Sagozes, where the highest Sanhedrin sat, the Beis HaMikdash had extraordinary wealth in it. Gold, you know, all kinds of super, super wealth. And Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in that Torah in the Kutei Moran. then Rabbeinu Zal shows that this wealth requires a keli. The keli is this issue of arichas yomim. He brings proof from Avram Avinu and Yitzhak Avinu. The psukim, it says over there by Avram Avinu, Vayhi ki zokein Avram, Vashem berach es Avram, Hashem blessed him with everything. That the bracha of Ashirus was tied into long life. That it's only through Ashirus, that it's only the person who has this keli called arichas yomim, that's an appropriate keli into which to receive this super spectacular Ashirus that's being discussed. Now, one additional point, and with this we'll finish this introduction, because it's related to today. Today we're in Hanukkah, and Rav Nosson Zal gives a phenomenal explanation on one of the statements here related to Hanukkah. Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter in the Kutimran, speaks about Arichas Yomim, and he says that the way that a Jew achieves Arichas Yomim, long life, is through fear of Hashem. Now, Rabbeinu Zal Rabbeinu Zal says it in the Kutimran, if I'm not mistaken, in that chapter, that most people know that fear shortens a person's life. You have the expression in English, died of fright. Right? There are certain cases where a person could be scared, sudden fright, and actually die from it. Or, it can certainly, a person says, you know, I got scared out of my wits, I must have lost 20 years of my life from it. You have that expression, because fear is known to shorten a person's life. What kind of fear? The wrong kind of fears. Yerois nefulois, they're called. When the fear is not the proper kind of fear, it shortens a person's life. Whereas, yero digdusha, when a Jew has fear and respect for what Hashem wants him to fear of Hashem, fear of Talmidei Chachomim, there's a pasuk this, yerei Hashem yechabed, that kind of fear, the pasuk says, toisif yomim, it actually adds to a person's life. Now, Rav Nosson Zal gives an unbelievable proof to this. Rav Nosson Zal says, we know that fire is synonymous with fear. There's a pasuk, ki yoreso mipnei ho'esh. When it talks about Matan Torah, Hashem giving the Torah on Har Sinai, it's brought that one of the reasons for all of that action, the fireworks on Har Sinai, was because Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. Because when you want to start being Makara the Jew, you got to start him off with fear. And Hashem wanted to instill fear into Klal Yisrael. That's why there was all of that fire and brimstone, you know, on Har Sinai. All of that action. It says that the mountain was smoking, fire, and all kinds of fireworks. In Parshas Voschanan, if you look over there where it describes it, it lists the word Eish maybe 25 times. That Hashem gave the Torah with fire and fire, fire, fire. That the term fire typically is something that shortens life. Meaning, for example, you have a candle where you know that this wax typically will burn, this quantity of wax or oil burns for 3 hours. You set fire to it, and the fire eats up the oil. It destroys it, where the fire is being attached to the side of, you know, it lessens the life of the oil. That's the norm. That's when it's yerois nefulois. The wrong kind of fire shortens life. Whereas yiras Hashem, we just said, is toisif yomim. And we said that yiras Hashem is the chinuch of a Jew. When the Jews were at Har Sinai, that's when they were first starting their kesher with Hashem. Correct? That was their initiation into Yiddishkeit. The first time they were being taught, you know, Aleph Beis, in a sense, at Har Sinai. It had to be with fire, which means it had to be with yira. But it was a yira that was moisif yomim, that added life. We see this from Chanukah, because Chanukah is miloshen chinuch, and Chanukah, the miracle was that there was a quantity of oil that should have burned for one. It was one day's worth of oil. What happened when they put fire to it? It burned for 8 days. Why? Because the fire of Chanukah, the lights of Chanukah, represent this yiras Hashem toisif yomim, which mamish it adds. Life. It increases and adds to the person's life. It gives the person this arichus yomim, which is the whole introduction to this ashirus dikdusha, you know, that we're speaking about here. Ois beis. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, v'ze b'chinas ma shehaganeth meshalem kefel. With this introduction, we're going to be able to understand why a person, a ganeth, a person that steals when nobody's looking, pays double. Kamoisha Kosov, as it says in the Chumash, Chaim Shnayim Yishalim. He has to pay double, and it's called Chaim Shnayim. Now the Muslims are going to start with an explanation of how the Yetzirah works, and then an explanation of how Tzadikim work. Ki kol hagnevois nimshochim bishoroshom al yidei habaldovor. All robberies that take place in the world originate, their point of origin is the Baldovor, which is a nickname for the Yetzirah, the Satan. Shehu haganav horishon. He is robber number one. Roish l'chol haganovim v'horamoim shevoilam. He's the leader of all thieves and tricksters of the world. Ki hu misnaheg imroiv b'neyotom b'derech gneva b'orma v'ramos niflo b'vkama v'kama minei drochim shoinim shehu marames odom v'goinev daitoi b'chol eis ad sheroitze l'toifsoi b'machmarosoi rachmano etlan kenoida v'nira b'chush. Rav Nosson Zal explains that the Satan conducts himself with the majority of people with tricks, not in any obvious way, open way, in a very tricky, sly manner, using all kinds of different tactics by which he fools the person and tricks the person into thinking that he wants the good of the person, or that he's trying to get the person to do a mitzvah when he's really trying to get him to do an aveira, until he ensnares the person in his trap, kenoida, as is known, u kenira b'chush, and as people will see in their life's experience. U kemoi shetzoak Dovid HaMelech HaVashalom al zeh tomid, and as we find Dovid HaMelech crying out to Hashem about this constantly. Kemoi shekosud, as he says in Tehillim, yeroiv b'mister, he lies in waiting, in ambush, hiddenly, ke'arye besukoi, like a lion who's hiding out in his covering, yeroiv, he's lying in ambush, lachtoiv oni b'moshchoi b'rishtoi, to grab a poor person, you know, a helpless victim, yidke yeshuach, and he'll pounce on him and do all kinds of things on him. Again, that term ambush, where the person walks into a situation and it looks like there's no problem, and the Satan sets it up and dresses it up as if, you know, he's walking into a situation and the person doesn't know that they're walking into a trap, you know, a super dangerous situation. Shekol zeh hu b'chinas geneva. This is all the concept of a thief, a trickster, a liar. Shebo al rodom kmoi haganav ha'oirev b'mister kedei lotzu desodom rishlechas shom. Whereby the Satan comes upon a person like a thief who's hiding, lying and hiding, not showing himself and not showing the person the danger that they're in. Ki be'emes al piroiv e efsher lahabaldovor sheyovoi lahodom losisoi miyad laver gemura chasishon. Because the fact is, Rav Nosson Zal says, in the majority of cases, it's impossible for the Satan to approach a person and try to get him to do a sin as phase one of the Satan's plan. Very rare that the first step in the Satan's dealings with a person will be to get him to do the actual sin. Rak bitchilo mislabesh esatzmoy b'mitzvos. But rather, the Satan first dresses himself up in mitzvos. The goynev da'as odom, and he fools the person. Umoyre loy heter. And he convinces the person that what they're doing is permissible, allowed, something that they're allowed to do, even though it's sort of a questionable item. It's not an avera; it's something that's borderline. And then, when the Satan wants to get the person to actually do an avera, something wrong, he dresses it up in mitzvah. For example, perfect example, you know, that everybody knows that the Gemara says, Pomim bitula shel Torah zuikiyuma, that at times, taking a break from learning is what will help you learn better. Now, how many people are there that can say that the Sultan played games with them, where he said to them, just take a 15-minute break from your learning and turn on this TV program, you know, just to look at the TV, just as a little break. Not knowing that the Sultan knew what was on the channel that they were going to put on, and he knew that it was a 3-hour program, And he knew that if he gets the guy just for the 15 minutes, he's got him for the 3 hours, and he's got him doing 10 other averos in the 3 hours, in the thing that that the person's going to see happens to be an unkosher thing, you know, that just using this as an example, or the case of a person who looks at something for curiosity. Let's say there's a book that has questionable subject matter in it. And the person's attitude at the start is they have no interest in it. They just want to look at the cover. They just want to look at the back to see it. And the minute the person looks at the cover or shows the slightest iota of curiosity in the item, zap, the hook is in already. And Sotan knows that he's falling already. He's got him. And then once he started looking, he just ropes him in. He ropes him in and gets him to read the book. And, you know, just using that as an example. Ad, etc. The Gemara says, today the Sotan says, just do this little thing. And then tomorrow he says, now just do a little bit more. And he knows that that's how he gets the customer. As the Gemara says, and as Rabbeinu Zal writes in his opening chapter in Likutei Moran, Bahatoira Ashrei Tmimei Derech, Al Maimar Rabba Bar Bar Chona, where Rabbeinu Zal there explains a story in the Gemara where it says that this rabbi was on a ship and he saw a wave, a tidal wave coming at him. Umischazi ki tzitzisa denura chivra bereisha. However, looking at this wave in the distance, it had that white cap on it. And it looked like a beautiful white spark. Like it looked like this was going to be a pretty spiritual experience. You know, looking at this pretty white thing in the distance. Not knowing that it was a tidal wave coming at him that was going to knock the whole ship over with everybody in it, drown everybody and wipe out all their possessions and everything. But the way this tidal wave presents itself at first in the distance, it looks like a pretty white spark. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there, Shebetchilo mislabesh habaldover esatzmoy b'mitzvois. Ayin shom. The sotan, the way, the derech of the sotan is to first dress himself in mitzvah. Umachmas gnei vosoi v'armosoi. And because of the fact that the sotan isn't dealing straight, he's not being straight and honest with the person in what he really wants the person to do. Koshe mo'oid lihinotso mimenu. That's what makes it so difficult to rescue yourself from him. When somebody's dealing with you straight and they tell you what their intent is, then you know how to deal. You know how to deal with them. But if somebody's coming with you fake, unless you're ready for it, unless you're aware and you can see through the false facade, the odds are he's going to take you. If you're not ready for it, really ready for it, he's going to get you because he's making believe he's your friend when he's your enemy, or he's making believe he's offering you a deal in which which is to your greatest benefit when really all he wants is his benefit. He wants to get another loser. The Alkain, the Emes. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says the truth is, e efsher lihinotso mimenu. It's impossible for a Jew to save themselves from being defeated by the Sotan. Without the assistance of the true tzaddikim of the generation, shekofues yitzron, those who have succeeded in binding, in controlling, gaining complete control over their yitzhara, va'amdu b'nisoyon, and they passed the test, the kovshues hamelchama, and they won the war, they conquered him completely. Sheheim Yoidin Kol Drochov. These tzaddikim are the ones who know exactly. They've read the encyclopedia, satanic encyclopedia. They know all of his tricks and all of his methodologies and all of his ways. Umistoyrov and all of his hidden tricks. V'chol Darkei Gnei Vosoi. They know all his ways of stealing. V'heim Yoidim Echlis Nagimoi. They know exactly how to deal with him. Kiheim gamheim misnahagim imoy bigneva v'yorma. Because when these tzaddikim deal with the sotan, they also don't deal straight with him. They deal with tricks also. Everything's got to be with chokhmah. There's a whole science to know how to deal with the sotan. How you can't be honest with it. Listen, I want to serve Hashem and religion. You do that, he'll put you in the zoo. He'll put you behind bars. You have to, the Bechinas, as the Gemara says in Megillah, Shori luhu letzadikayo lesegue beremusa imramai. The Gemara asks that Yaakov Avinu said to Rachel, don't worry, your daddy's a trickster. I'm equal. I know I can play as many games. I'll go game for game with him. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Yaakov was a religious guy. Religious guys don't play games. The Gemara says, oh no, they definitely do. When a tzaddik is dealing with a thief, when a tzaddik is dealing with a guy who's a liar, the tzaddik is allowed to engage in trickery with a trickster. That's the wording of the Gemara. And the Gemara proves it from a pasuk in Tehillim. Kamay shekosav, as it says, im novor tizboror, vim ikesh tispato. Would a person who's straight be straight with them? With a person who's crooked, deal crooked with them. V'daika al yedei gnevis v'aromois matzilim hatzadikim amitim esho anoshim asher nilkedu berishtoi kitziporim hu achuzois bepach al gnevus v'armos v'kanal. And it's specifically through trickery, slyness, and sharpness that tzadikim work with the satan to extract from him people that he has ensnared in his trap already, to rescue them and be makar of them to Yiddishkeit. The tzaddikim do it with tremendous trickery and slyness. Ki hatzaddikim heim bechinas Yaakov shehu ochiv beramos shel Esav v'lavon sheheim bechinas hasamach mem v'habaldovor. Because the tzaddikim copy Yaakov Avinu, who made a clear statement. We're brothers, Lavon and I. I can go round for round for him in his games. I'll match him step for step, whether it's Lavon or Esav, who are the Satan and Baldover. They symbolize the Yetzirah. V'zeh b'chinas ma'shekosov Rabbeinu Zal b'Atoranal. Now the question is, where do we see this? This is Rab Nosson Zal now giving you glasses to read this chapter 60 in the Likutei Moran and to understand what Rabbeinu Zal is really saying there. This is what Rabbeinu Zal means when he says that tzaddikim ein yecholim la'orer ulahoktes mineyotam mishinosam unafilosam kimay de sipurei maisius shemalbishnu malimim bohem esaponim shel Torah. When Rabbeinu Zal says that true tzaddikim, the big tzaddikim, when they engage a customer, when they want to try to get somebody out of the hands of the Yetzer, somebody that became irreligious or anti, you know, whatever it is, when they want to get somebody like that back, Rabbeinu Zal says they don't feed that person Torah. They dress the Torah up in something completely different. Sipurei Maaseh, a story that doesn't, where the person doesn't feel that they're being given Torah at all. They're being told a story. Shezeo b'chinas geneva v'orma. This is a form of favor, trickery and thievery. Shemisnagim imoy b'ramos, whereby the tzaddik deals with the satan with trickery. Shaydezeh daiko moitzien esanoshim irishtoi. And that's how the tzaddik succeeds at being able to get these people out of his out of the trap of the satan. B'bechinas, as the pasuk says, meshane ponov vatishlochehu. He changes his face and he gets him sent away. Look what the pasuk says, that in order to get the guy released, you got to change your face. Shemeshanim es haponim al yidei sipurei maaseis. The tzaddik changes the face of the Torah. He puts a different cover. It's not Chumash, it's not Gemara, it's Gulliver's Travels. We're going to learn, you know, story time. Things seemingly unrelated to Torah. Shelo yakiru, that the Sotan shouldn't recognize where he's coming from. And that's how the tzaddikim are able to succeed at stealing neshamos. That's also called stealing, kidnapping neshamos from the hands of the Sotan. Nimtza, therefore we conclude, shehat tzaddik misnahek begneva v'orma gedoyla, that the tzaddik has to use super thievery tactics. It's got to be super tricky and sly. Kedei lohoitzi b'nei odom meireshes hasamach mem, in order to get people, to rescue people from the hands of the Yetzirah, shenaflu l'shama yidei darkei gnevos hakanal, where these people fell into the hands of the Satan through the Satan's trickery and slyness, not being straight. Shezeu b'chinas hisoyerus hashen yidei sipurei maaseis. This is what Rabbeinu Zal means there about waking people up from their sleep by stories. Shaydezeh machzirin kama b'nei odom b'tshuva. That's how you have the ability to bring back many people in tshuva. al yidei shema oira and oisam mishinasam, by waking them up from their sleep, al yidei sipurei maisis daika. But dafka by using stories, and these stories represent a facade. It's a cover for what he's really trying to inject into the person. V'chein mavur bekama sforim. Rav Nosson Zal says that this is found in many sforim. Shehatzadikim mesnagim im abaldovor b'derech geneva. That the way a tzaddik conducts himself with his sotan is as a thief. The tzaddik has to play thief, and he's got to use all the tactics, all the trickery, and undercover, you know, work and masks that a thief uses in order to get to do what he wants to do. Ukemuva b'sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, as is brought especially in the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, written by one of the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim. Now let me give a 1994 version of this. Last night, at 2 o'clock in the morning almost, I was looking at the New York Times, which I brought back from America for my recent trip, where I read an incident that I had heard about when I was in the States, about an Orthodox Hasidic rabbi, whereby there was a certain family, a Sephardic family, where, again, I don't know all the truth. I'll tell you what I heard when I was in America, and I'll tell you what I read in the Times, where it seems that the husband and wife in this family were having a lot of conflict. That's item number one. Item number two, they had a child that they wanted should be prepared for bar mitzvah lessons, should be taught a little bit of Yiddishkeit, became close enough to the rabbi that he didn't want to go back home. P.S. The parents, at one point, about a year or two into this relationship of the child with the rabbi, the parents decided they want the child back. They pressed charges against the rabbi in federal court, and there's a whole trial situation now, and the most recent is that the court paskin 4 to 12 years is what I saw, 4 to 12 years for this rabbi, for sort of kidnapping, sort of, you know, despite the fact that the boy himself testified in court on behalf of the rabbi. The boy said, you know, that I went of my own free will, I wasn't brainwashed, nothing. My parents, I couldn't stay in my house because my stepfather beat me. You know, and as it seems, it's her second husband also. Stepfather beat me, and they constant, you know, all of these kind of things. Now, this past Shabbos, I was in the house of a rabbi, an 80-year-old, I don't want to mention names, an 80-year-old rabbi in Brooklyn, who was aware of the story. He has no direct kesher with this rabbi that the trial is about, but he heard about it and is troubled by it, and he called up a congressman to try to, you know, work on it, etc. But one of the first things he said at the table is, between us, this rabbi made a mistake. What's his mistake? His mistake was that he was supposed to consult with Gedolim as to how to deal with this kind of situation. This was this rabbi's words. This is war games. You want to take a Jew who's not religious, or a Jew who's coming from a home and not religious, and you want to make him that's the most delicate, difficult task in Yiddishkeit. We're going to see in other places in Kotel Lachos, Rav Nosson Zal writes that black on white, that there's nothing more difficult in the world than to take somebody who's in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara and do a rescue mission, that kind of thing. And it's either you yourself are a super, super Talmud Chacham and thief and burglar, you know, who understands how to deal with this. Otherwise, you better make sure you're plugged in to Gedolei Ador to know how to deal in such a situation. Because look what the possibilities are. Possibilities are that the Satan can do a reversal on you and put you into, swallow you up into a federal prison with cutthroats and drug addicts, and Hashem have to be there for 3-12, you know. I'm just showing as an example that what Rav Nosson Zal is saying is chai v'ka, you know, that these are the stakes. This is the deal here. It's war games with live bullets, live rounds, and it's only tzaddikim amitim that have themselves won the war and learned everything about the sotan that you need to know to parry with him and to deal with him. They're the ones who are going to be able to teach other people how to do their parrying and how to extricate themselves from the trap that the Satan has gotten them into. This isn't for kids, and it's not a person who learned a couple of pages of Gemara or a couple of pages of Shulchan Aruch or a couple of pages of Zohar to think that he's qualified to become a Kiruv expert and he's going to start taking people from, you know, delicate, difficult, dangerous, that's that word, dangerous issue, which there's thousands of possibilities of pitfalls This is just one example. Here's one example where the Sotam pulled out a howitzer, and now what? Now what? One suggestion that was made, this rabbi said maybe a suggestion would be to have a group of 100 rabbis, let's say, rabbis of communities, sign a paper saying that they acknowledge what this rabbi did, and that the rabbi did not do anything against the country, that they sanction what he did in terms of teaching a child religion, this, that. And I was sitting at this 80-year-old rabbi's house with a lawyer who said, you know what could happen? All 100 rabbis, they'll put behind bars. They sanction what he did. You're all criminals. You sanction what he did. You know, if he did what the courts have decided is against, you know, federal law, they'll take the 100 signatures and they'll go after each one, you know, and they'll put them in prison.